Your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. Brother Varner got up to pray for the offering. He thanked the Lord for that we got to come to listen to a couple hours of preaching. I was wondering, man, it might seem like a couple hours, but I hope it's not going to be that long for you this morning. There can be a special bond between fathers and sons. A boy one day asked his father, it was on Father's Day actually, he asked his dad for 50% of his Father's Day gifts. And dad said, why? He said, well, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even be a father. So he thought he was entitled to a little bit of the goods there. Then there was a son who was looking for a little bit of money from his dad, and he thought he had to, you know, the father dreamed up a good excuse not to give it to him. So son comes to a dad and said, for 20 bucks, I'll be good. And the dad said, oh, yeah, when I was your age, I was good for nothing. There was a dinner conversation between the father and son, and the son piped up, Dad, are bugs good to eat? And the dad said, let's not talk about such things at the dinner table, son. Son said, all right. So after dinner, his father said, now, why did you ask that of me anyway? He said, oh, nothing, Dad. He said, no, really. What was the big deal? He says, well, there was a bug in your soup, but it's gone now. So, on a more serious note, some of you have heard the prayer request last night in men's prayer meeting. A young man by the name of Chris Duplessis, he's a teenager in the church in Zambia, and he came down with cerebral malaria, which is a very, very dangerous strain of malaria. In fact, I was talking to my wife this morning about that. The only people we know that have gotten it have died. And so there was a very serious request for him to that he would come out of this. And so I was in touch with Brother Smith this morning, and he said that he seems to be doing a little bit better. They've done some tests trying to make sure there's no brain damage, because you can have brain damage. I know a guy who had a stroke, and then after the stroke, a month or so later, he died. So there's all sorts of different complications. But they said over the next few days, a lot will be determined. So please keep Chris in your prayers. 1 Kings chapter 15. This passage of Scripture is actually quite sobering if you're a dad. We begin in verse number 1. I'm going to read three verses this morning. Very convicting passage to me, and if you're a dad, I think it will be to you. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David, his father. Now, David was his great-grandfather. Solomon was his grandfather. Rehoboam was Abijam's father. But his Bible says, verse 3, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love to us. The opportunity we have this morning to gather into your house, we ask that you'll empower your word. Lord, I need your strength. Oh, I need it physically. I need it mentally. I need most of all spiritually. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts. I can't help people. Only you can. And Lord, this is a very convicting passage to me. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to get what we need from this message. And Lord, help me be able to be an encouragement at the end. Just ask that you'll use it in a special way, in Jesus' name, amen. Being a father is a great responsibility, and it carries a heavy burden for a sincere Christian. I still remember when Sarah was born, our first child, and holding her, you know, when she was a baby. You know, us dads are kind of clods, and I just, what do you do with this thing? You know, I felt like I was going to break her. Okay, you can have her back now. But I remember holding her in my arms and just thinking that I was responsible for how she turned out. Me as a dad, how she ended up was going to be determined how I raised her and trained her. I wasn't thinking of her as a baby. I was thinking down the road and what she was going to be like when she grew up. And now she's growing up. Then John came along and Deborah, and it dawned upon me that things in my life needed to change if my children were going to grow up to serve God. I wasn't out smoking. I wasn't out drinking. I wasn't out carousing with women. I wasn't doing all that. But I wasn't everything I should have been. And I knew that if I didn't start making some changes, my kids were going to pick up my traits. And if I allowed wrong things to stay in my life, they were going to learn those things. And it was going to hinder them or even ruin them. And the sins of a father are very serious indeed. And every father in here must realize that he is molding his children either to be an instrument for God to use or for the devil. And if you look around today's world, it's not too difficult to see that most children are tools of the devil today. You look at them. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they drink, they smoke, they watch dirty things on the television and movies on the internet. They sleep around, they're disrespectful, they're rude. And where are they learning those things from? In many cases, their father. Their father. Today we'll consider a son who walked in all the sins of his father. Abijam was the son of a foolish king named Rehoboam. And I want to see how Abijam was ruined by his father. We see, first of all, in verse 3 here, the steps of sin. The steps of sin. The Bible says, and he walked in all the sins of his father. He walked. I want to point out, first of all, before we get too far down this message, that we choose. This guy chose to walk in his father's footsteps, okay? And we choose who we're going to follow and what we're going to do. There were some kings that their fathers were wicked men, but some of them actually turned out pretty good. And it's not because, it's basically because they decided not to follow their father. They decided to follow God. Perhaps you didn't have a good upbringing. Don't blame it all on your parents. No parent is perfect. You got that? I'm not a parent. My dad wasn't a perfect dad. But I love my dad. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my dad. I haven't been a perfect parent, but I love my kids. I've got a lot of regrets of things I've done. I wish I could go back and do some things differently. I can't. But I can do what I can now. Amen? So you can say, oh, you can try to blame your parents for all your problems. Say, it's all my... See, you're going to take this text and say, yeah, I'm walking in my father's sins because it's my dad's fault. No, you're responsible for the steps that you take in life. Okay, I want to get this out in the get-go here. Okay, you can look around and you can see dozens and dozens of people in here who are not raised right, but they're serving God today. Okay, it is a personal choice. However, I do want to point out that Abijam's father made it a whole lot easier for Abijam to sin. And he did influence Abijam's life. And he did lead him down the wrong path. And you and I, men, we're responsible too. Because our children are going to follow the direction that we go. Now, how does a person learn to walk? How does a kid learn to walk? They walk one step at a time. And children are great imitators, aren't they? They'd like to do what their leaders do, and they watch and they follow the actions of their daddy. Okay? You've got little eyes that observe everything you do. Everything you do, they're watching. Okay? And by the way, as they grow up and they get out on their own, They're still watching you. They're still seeing how you do things. They want to see if what you've lived, what you've preached all your life, if you're still living. And you can still be an example to them as they've grown up. You know, I really do remember this. My dad had these huge shoes. Now, they're my size. But when I was around 3 or 4, they were huge. And I remember putting my feet in those huge shoes and trying to take steps. Okay? My mom even said one time, my dad left for work in the wintertime, and I put on the shoes and walked out the door when I was around 3 trying to follow him, walking in my dad's footsteps. And you hear stories like that, and it's true. I wanted to be like dad. Okay? I remember years ago when I was working on a project, we were putting a guest room together before the Riches came over to Zambia the first time. And I got my tool belt on. I'm out there working. And John worked hard and got out of school a little bit early. And he put on his tool belt. He had that little junior size tool belt and junior size hammer. And, you know, and he came, you know, that hammer was so small, it wasn't going to drive much of anything except maybe a finishing nail. But he came out and he's all excited to be with dad. And I had a couple tool belts. I had on, you know, the nicer one. I had the other one. He saw that I wasn't wearing it. Said, "Dad, can I wear your tool belt?" I said, "Yeah, son. You can wear my tool belt." What was the thing? He wanted to be like dad. And that's fine when children are following our footsteps in a good way. But if we're giving them a bad example, that's not fine. And just as John picked up my tool belt, he's also picked up some other things from me over the years that haven't been so good. It's amazing how, if you're a parent, it's amazing, you know this is true, how your children are so slow to pick up your good traits. But every single last one of your bad qualities, they've got them down pat. You don't even have to teach them how to do it. They just got it. Man, and you might even bemoan the fact to your children, "Man, you pick up all my bad stuff. Why don't you do something good that I do?" And they look at you and say, "You don't do nothing good, Dad." No, they don't say that. Good for nothing, like that guy. God clearly warns us, though, that he walked in all the sins of his father. Those children are watching and they're walking. Most every young child learns from watching and imitating. And it says the sins of his father there in verse 3, which he had done before him. Rehoboam committed those sins right in front of his son. We try to hide them, but they come out in the open. You can try to hide your bad temper, but it comes out. You can try to hide your covetousness, but it comes out. A man who starts drinking, he's going to try to cover it up at first. But before long, he comes home drunk, behaves foolishly. Later, it's not so concerned. First, he was hiding it. Next thing you know, he's drinking in front of his children. His children get a little bit older. You know what he starts doing? Eventually, he's drinking with them. How terrible to see mother and daughter smoking cigarettes together, father and son sharing a beer together, getting drunk together. I know a Christian man who got discouraged one time in his life. And he brought a six-pack of Schlitz. I don't even know if they still make that. And if you say whether they do or not, then you know too much. No. That was an old, you know, white can with a, you know, burgundy brown label. Schlitz. He got a six-pack, brought it home, put it down in the bottom shelf in the back of the refrigerator. His wife was mortified. Why was he hiding it in the back of the refrigerator? Thought maybe the kids wouldn't see it. Bottom shelf. Let me tell you, every kid knows what's in the refrigerator. That beer stayed there for a while, but then it disappeared. It was never brought back into the house. And the man, obviously, it came to his senses and dealt with things the right way instead of turning to the bottle. His boys were entering their teenage years. One day, the younger son saw his big brother with a can of beer. Can you guess which kind it was? It's a can of Schlitz. So where do you think he learned that? You know where he learned that. And he didn't have the small can, he had the tall can. See, your kids will usually take it one step further than you, won't they? It was a sin of his father. And it wasn't long that both of those teenage boys had problems with drinking. See, Abijam walked in the footsteps of his father, and you can be certain that your child's walking in your footsteps. And if your children are really tiny, they're going to be walking in your footsteps. And by the way, ladies, your example also affects your children. If you're a gossip, your kids are going to be a gossip. Huh? If you're disrespectful to your husband, your kids, they're going to be disrespectful to you and to their dad and to everyone else if they can. And young ladies, you better be careful of the man you're interested in. Because take one good look at him. Do you want your future sons to be like him? They will be. So you better be careful who you marry. So ladies, this is just as much for you as it is for the men. Amen? The sins of the father. We see the steps of sin. Secondly, I want you to see the severity of the sin. Go back there in verse number 3. To what extent did he follow his father? Verse 3, and he walked in what? Some? All the sins of his father. This point is very sad. Abijam didn't follow just some of them. He followed all of them. Listen, if you curse, he'll curse. Get these little 3 and 4 year old kids come into Sunday school and they get mad at the teacher and they cuss the teacher out. You say, what on earth? Because they've been cussed out all their life. The sins of their parents. You drink, they'll drink. You lose your temper, they'll lose their temper. How many times do we hear kids growing up in a bad situation, a bad home, and they say, man, I'm never going to be like my mom or dad. And what happens when they grow older and they get married and they have kids? What are they? Just like their mom and dad. Kids grow up in an abusive situation, hate their parents. Man, I'll never treat my kids like that. What are they doing? Same thing. The sins of the father. The sins of the father. Dads, we carry a big responsibility on us. A man who watches borderline movies with his family shouldn't be surprised when his children watch far worse things. Where'd they learn to justify their sin and excuse those bad scenes in movies? Dad? Dad? I'm telling you, children watch what you do, and they say, if Dad does it, it must be what? Must be okay. And our society makes even matters worse. Our society teaches it's okay to indulge in sin when you become an adult. Right? I mean, adult entertainment. It's okay for adults, but it's not for kids. No, let me tell you, it's not okay for adults. You know, the big thing, and I was hesitating to even say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, the big commotion of Bill Cosby now. Oh, there was a mistrial, so he's okay. He's okay. Listen, in his statement, written statement, you know, with his trial against him, he admitted that he had an improper relationship with this woman that he wasn't married to. He said it was consensual. So if it's consensual, it's okay. No, in God's eyes, it's still not okay. It's still adultery. It's still sin. And now he can be a hero again because there's no crime. Ugh. What a messed up society we live in. A man can mess around with a teenage girl, and if she's 17 years old, 11 months and some days, he can go to jail. But when she turns 18 and she's an adult, it's okay. In God's eyes, guess what? It's still not okay. It's still not okay. I want you to see, thirdly, the sort of sin, sorts of sins that he followed in. Now, we don't have a list of every single sin that Rehoboam did, but there are a few things in here. So if you turn back a couple pages or so, in 1 Kings chapter number 12, what were some of the sins of his father? And some of them, you'll see, are pretty common with sins of our day, too. If you're guilty, take care of them. And chapter 12, verse number 6, we know Rehoboam had just became king, and the Bible says in Kings Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father. Now, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And these men stood before Solomon. They heard the wisdom. They knew some things. They had some good advice and some good counsel. And he said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? People came and wanted to know how he was going to reign. So he was trying to get some advice on how to give an answer. And he came and he asked the right people the right questions. But then if you look down in verse number 8, it says, but he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him. You know what I see here? This guy was an arrogant know-it-all. That was one of his sins. He was an arrogant know-it-all. He forsook wise advice. Let me tell you, if you are a know-it-all and you think you know everything, you can't be corrected, man. That's what you're training your children to be. That's what you're training your children to be. You won't listen to your pastor. You won't listen to godly advice. You know, you come to a church like this, our kids hear the preaching. And when they go home, they're trying to see if things add up. The preacher said the Bible says this, and dad ought to do this, and mom ought to do this. And I go home, wait a minute, it's not adding up. They hear, they watch, they see, and they see our attitude that, hey, I know better than the Bible. I know better than God. No, we don't. And that's what we're training our kids to be like. And our kids will follow the sins of their father. 1 Kings still, chapter 12, drop down to verse number 13. And the Bible says, and the king answered the people roughly. He answered them roughly. He was harsh with people. Rehoboam was harsh. He was needlessly rough with people. And I'm telling you, if you've got a bad temper and you treat people nasty, what do you think your kids are going to do? Same thing. Mean and nasty. Where do they get it from? Chapter 14, verse 24. Another sin of the father. He was very permissive. I'm sorry, verse 22 and 23. And Judah, this is under his reign, under Rehoboam's reign. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. Okay, notice how permissive he was. Rehoboam was permissive. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And all of this was going on. All of this idolatry. All of these places were built for evil, wicked worship. And Rehoboam just let it happen. He was permissive. Yeah. Your father. And mom, same with you. You shouldn't let your children just do whatever they want. Are you too permissive? Are you too permissive? I'll tell you, what age really ranks with permissiveness? The 60s. Just do whatever you want. Yeah? Then the next generation, what do they learn? They learn the sins of their father. Now that generation has raised another group of kids. Where are we today? The permissiveness of our society has made it so that boys and girls grow up not knowing if they're a boy or a girl anymore. And some of us older generations scratch our heads and said, what on earth? That is so crazy. Where did this come from? The sins of the fathers. Permissive parents. Raise another generation of permissive parents. who've raised another generation of Persian kids that can do whatever they want, think whatever they want. You're never wrong. Some of you younger people look at us like we're crazy. Like, man, why are you so mad about that? Because it's not right. And what's worse is you think it's right. And the sins of the fathers have gone on to generation to generation. And that's why our nation's a mess. That's why our churches are so weak. Why? Because of us dads. We want to talk about man up. Yeah, you know what we do if we man up? We confess our sin and we get it right with God. Manning up's not beating your chest. It's humbling yourself before God. Look at verse 24. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Very similar. Not only was he permissive, but he accepted the sins of the world. He was tolerant. And when you tolerate sin, you're worldly. And when you're worldly, your children are worldly. And when you tolerate sin, your children will tolerate sin. There's a couple more sins of his father, but they're over in another passage. Let me read them to you in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord. He forsook God and his word. You see, Rehoboam, his father was Solomon, and he had received a lot of good instruction. Now, I know Solomon wasn't perfect, and I think Solomon waited too long to teach his son. I don't know where in the timeline where everything fell, but we do know that Solomon did a lot of bad things. And I think at the end, he started trying to teach his son some right things. But I think it was a little bit too late. And this man knew, Rehoboam knew what to do, but he walked away from it. Let me ask you, have you walked away from God's instructions? How faithful are you to church? How faithful are you to read your Bible? If we forsake God, don't be surprised when our children do the same thing. And I want you to see also, let me read it to you, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. The Bible says, and he, Rehoboam, did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He didn't seek God. He didn't start his day out in prayer and reading the Bible. And if we don't make a daily time with God important to us, our children aren't going to do it either. So I want you to read your Bible and pray every day, kids, and you don't do it. They follow the sins of their father. Rehoboam did all these things and more. We don't have a complete list of his sins. And the Bible says that Abijam walked in all the sins of his father. What are some sins of fathers today? Well, we just covered some of them. Some of them certainly apply. Not being faithful to church. Yeah, it's good for you kids, but I'll go when it's convenient. I want you guys to be faithful. Yeah, but let me say, if church isn't important to you, it's not going to be important to them. It's not. It's not. Neglecting personal and family prayer time. Not concerned about being souls. How about lust? Men? Pornography is a huge problem in our society. There's a lot of men who got a lot of issues with this. And your son is going to walk in your sins. Oh, he doesn't know. He sees how you check women out. He sees how you look at women. He watches the movies that you bring home. And you say, well, they're not really bad. Well, there's enough in there to give him a desire for some stuff. He may even find your magazine or open up one of your web pages one day. Surprise! I don't mean to be harsh, but if you're a pervert, chances are he's going to be one too. Sins of his father. Music, worldly music, covetousness, always buying stuff. You're always buying stuff for yourself. They're always going to be buying stuff for themselves. Cursing. Remember hearing some parents say, well, I only curse when I get really mad. Oh. So that when your children get really mad, then it's okay for them to curse too, right? Husband, father, you argue with your wife. What are you teaching your children to do? You get angry, you get bitter, you get gossiping, you get violent, you get dishonest. All of those things. You cheat the taxes. You cheat trying to cheat at the stores that you go to. Your kids are going to do the same thing. Let me ask you then, what are your sins, Dad? What are your sins? What sins do you commit that you don't want your children to follow? Now, I told you, this is a very sobering message. But they're going to follow if you don't change. They're going to follow. He couldn't see much reason to go to Bible school, and yet he didn't argue with Daddy's Sunday rule. But still, he often wondered if Daddy's words were true, since Bible studies needed, why Dad did not go too. One day, he was angry as Daddy overheard him say in tones emphatic a string of ugly words. The boy was quickly summoned by an indignant shout as the lad stood trembling as Dad cursed him out. And then a new adventure the boy embarked upon. He tried a little smoking, which led to more than one. His daddy whipped and lectured. 'Twas quite a stern attack. And then the son gave answer, I got them from your pack. We need no application. The truth shines bright as day. We teach much more by doing, much less by what we say. Do not but what you truly desire your child to do. He may not always hear well, but he is watching you. Quickly, we see the source of his sin. We already really covered this. Where did he get this thing from, huh? Who was the source of Abijah's problems? His dad. His dad. The words say it was the sins of who? His father. Sins of his father. God holds both accountable, the father for setting a wrong example and the son for following it. And when you lead down the wrong path, your children will follow. If you lead down the right path, they'll follow. We choose. And we see, fifthly, the seriousness of sin. I'm getting closer now. Won't be 2 hours. The seriousness. How long did Abijah reign? The Bible says there, back in verse chapter 15, that he reigned 3 years. Not a really long reign. What great things do we see that Abijah accomplished? Did he bring great revival to Judah? No. No. What kind of life did Abijam live? Great one? No. Short one. Not a blessed one. Not a fulfilled one. Some of you say, well, what's the big deal if I just do a few bad things? I'm not hurting anyone. You are hurting some people. Your children. And we play a very big role, and we're going to have a serious effect on our children. Look what the result was. Again, there, verse 3. His heart was not what? Perfect, that means complete, with the Lord his God. Abijam's heart wasn't right with God because his father gave him a bad example and he followed it. Can God bless a person whose heart's not right? No. Can that person raise godly children? No. They can have a good marriage? No. You see, your sins will affect not only you and your children, but many generations after you. How you live can result with many of your descendants going to heaven or many of your descendants going to hell. The sins of a father are very serious. His heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father. He wasn't like David. Now, David was a good man, greatly blessed of God, but he didn't have those blessings. He lived like Rehoboam. Now, who would you want your kids to grow up to be like? Rehoboam? Or like David?
The one who was wicked and had all the trouble, or one who was blessed of God? Rehoboam had a choice that he made for his child. How do I want to raise my children? Do I want them to be raised up like my granddaddy, David? No, I think I want them to raise up like me. Instead of having the blessing of God in his life, Abijam suffered from the sins of his father. Choice is up to us who we want our kids to turn out like. If you live like a Rehoboam, you're going to get an Abijam for a son. Now, if we just stop there, we're pretty beat up, guys, aren't we? Let's give a little bit of hope. The last thing I want to talk about is the solution for sin. What's the solution? What can we do to prevent our children from ruining their lives? Or what if we've already messed some things up? Let me give you a couple quick points here. First of all, number one, take responsibility for your actions. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 4, I want you to notice who God instructs to teach children about himself. Okay? Who is this that needs to take responsibility? The Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." If we're not doing our job, we need to realize that God holds us accountable and start taking responsibility for our actions. Maybe you're sitting here and say, "I never knew I had such an impact." Okay, let's step up to the plate and be responsible. Amen? Let's become the man God wants us to be. So I say, first of all, take responsibility for your actions. Secondly, I say, know the Lord. Know the Lord. Jesus asked a couple of good questions. He said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch?" Let me tell you, you can't teach your children about the Lord if you don't know the Lord. You're blind. And you're not going to teach your children the right way. The best thing you can do for your children is get saved. Repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So that you can begin learning about the Lord and knowing the Lord and having a changed life and now having an impact on your own children. As mentioned in the testimony this morning, sometimes people get saved a little bit later in life. They're just learning, just trying to figure out how to raise kids, and their kids are already halfway grown up. It's tough. But we need to know the Lord, and the more we know the Lord, the better we're going to figure out how to do this thing. Amen? And if you're not saved, you're going to end up in hell one day. And sadly, your children may not be too far behind you. Repent and believe the gospel is what Jesus said. And by the way, at the conclusion of this service, we'll offer, you can come forward and we'll have someone show you how you can receive Jesus as your personal Savior. So what do we do? What's the solution? Well, we take responsibility for our actions. I'm the dad. I'm responsible. I better start changing some things. I need to know the Lord as my Savior. Then thirdly, we need to confess our failures to God. Sometimes, in some situations, we need to confess them to our family. But perhaps you've messed up as a father. God will forgive you if you ask Him. Listen, 1 John 1:9 is still there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, when God forgives, He forgets. I've got a lot of regrets. I wish I could go back and do some things differently. If you're like me, men, sometimes you've laid awake at night and said, "Man, I've messed things up and my kids are going to reap because of me." But you know what we can do? We can confess our sin. We can have the assurance that God forgives us and we can move on. We don't have to be plagued and hindered and beaten up by our past. We can be forgiven. And if you have children still at home, make the changes that you need to make so that you don't repeat the same mistakes. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." If you just keep acting like everything's okay and it's not, you're not going to prosper as a parent. "But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." God will give us mercy on our lives and mercy with raising our children. It's a big job. It's a tough job. I can't do it. But if I confess it and I forsake my my stupidity and my sins, and I come to God and ask Him for help, He will forgive me. He will show mercy to me. He'll help me as a parent so we don't have to live defeated anymore. People, let's wake up. If we messed up, deal with it. And move on. And do the dead level best you can. And God will be merciful. He says so in His Word. What if we don't? One after another of our children are going to be affected by the sins of the father. I'd say fourthly, quickly now, point your children in the right direction. Proverbs 22:6 is still there in the book. Train up a child, how? In the way he should go. That's kind of the opposite of teaching him the wrong way, isn't it? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What a promise. I say, fifthly, lead by example. I'm just giving you these things so we can get down here. Lead by example. Ever wonder why Noah's three sons got on the ark? It was just Noah and his wife, and Noah's sons and their wives. Why did they get on the ark? Because Noah did. Because Noah did. Noah was a good man. He was a godly man. He was a faithful man. And his children followed his example. That's encouraging, isn't it? Lead by example. As we read that little poem, it's not necessarily what you say. It's what you do that your kids are going to follow. And then, number six, seek God's help. Accept the Lord, Psalm 127:1 says, accept the Lord, build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Listen, it's not our plans, it's not our programs, it's not all the little things that we're going to do as a dad to be the best dads in the world. It's, Lord, I need your help. I need your power. I can't do this. And when we seek God, He's going to step in and help us out. He's going to direct us. He's going to give us wisdom. And He's going to point us in the right direction so we can point our kids in the right direction. We need to seek God's help. And then, lastly, live for your family, not for yourself. David was a very good man. He was a busy man. He was a king. But he didn't do everything right. He had a few too many wives, a few too many children. And he didn't really spend all the time with his kids that he should have raising them. In particular, he didn't take time to raise Absalom. Absalom rebelled against David, took his throne, and even tried to kill him. We know what happened. Eventually, Absalom was killed in battle. And David lamented terribly. Just brokenhearted. And I personally think it's because he knew he was to blame for how Absalom died. I think that's how he knew. I think he knew that he messed up. Listen to his words in 2 Samuel 18:33. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee. Oh, my son Absalom, my son. Would God I had died for thee. At that point, after he saw how he messed up and after he saw how his son did the wrong things, he was saying, oh, I wish I would have died for you. Oh, he should have been willing to live for him. Well, we're great. Oh, I'd die for my kids. Yeah. Don't talk like that. Do you live for them? Don't be so consumed with your job and your hobbies and your personal pursuits that you ignore the training of your own children. Live for your family. Live for your family. And we can avoid a lot of our kids following our wrong footsteps. To get his goodnight kiss, he stood beside my chair one night and raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. As I gathered in my arms the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good and hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept around my neck, and then I heard him say, four simple words I can't forget. Four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror in my soul on secrets no one knew. They startled me. I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. If your child comes up and said, Dad, I'm going to be like you. You really want him to be? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Fathers,